Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Thank you for doing this. Let's start.
All right.
Okay, we're going to have so much fun. So for the Shift listeners, this is Mick Thomas. You've been living in America for how long?
He's now 20 years now.
20 years. Oh my God.
Almost 20, yeah.
And so obviously for the listeners, you are a comedian here. You also have your own podcast called Cheaper Than Therapy. What do you talk about on that?
It's really kind of, I use it almost like an open mic, and it's me ranting about what happened to me during the week. And see, when I'm on stage, it's like I kind of do long-winded material, and long-winded sounded terrible. just long-winded, boring shit. No, it's not set up punch or anything like that. It's kind of stories, and I find that I obviously want to trim the fat and get as much out as possible. So I'll just talk about whatever happened to me, and if I find something in there, sometimes a lot, like 80% of it is going to be nothing in there that I can use on stage, but every once in a while I'll get something I can kind of run with it. So it's me ranting for a week, or if I saw something on the news or something, but it's just me by myself just bullshitting for 20 minutes. That's usually how long it is, and that's all, that's what it is.
Yeah, I do like a solo podcast on my Patreon, but I used to do it every week, and now I just do it twice a month. But I really can talk for forever. Like, I was doing like hour episodes, and I was like, Jesus, I could just talk to a wall. I don't need anybody else to respond.
Great though. They really are great, because you could be like, I could be doing a bit on stage. Like, we just adopted a dog there. He's around, he barks all the time. And, you know, and I was trying to talk about the difference between how Irish people treat dogs and how Americans treat their dogs. Like, because we, as in Ireland, we treat them like fucking dogs. Yeah. Like, Americans, they're like a child. And so if I'm telling this story, long thing about, if I was doing it on stage talking about the dog, and then I'll, like, if a minute goes by, which is a lifetime for not getting a laugh on stage. So if a minute's gone by, I didn't get any laugh, I could easily just pull the cord and move on to the next bit. But talking just to myself, I have no choice but to see the story all the way to the end, because I don't get feedback until it gets published. People, I like that, I didn't like that, that was shite, that was great, or, you know, whatever it is. So you kind of have to see it through, because you're not getting instant reaction. So I that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and you can also just tell the story. It doesn't have the pressure of it having to be funny every 15 seconds and then find the funny afterwards. Yeah, that's what I've loved about the Patreon or doing solo podcasts. But I completely agree with you as well. I have a joke about my dad shooting my cat, and I just love telling it in New York because it just shows the difference. Because to him, he was doing the cat a kindness, but to hear they're like, they are much more comfortable with people being shot than animals sometimes.
Like, yeah, I have a story about, like, my daughter, and this is coming from, again, Ireland and what we do with animals and what's humane, and the rabbit, like, I woke up in the morning, the rabbit's head was twisted around, and the vet said, look, it's either an ear infection or he had a stroke, either way he's in tremendous pain. He goes, you should put it down. And he said, if you bring it down here, I'll do it. And they were like $250, I think, to put it down. And we had a big, at the time we're in a different house now, but we had a huge pond in the yard, and I just put it in a pillowcase, and you know what I mean? And it sounds horrible, but it's, you know, I don't have $250 to just spare on a, you know, and so it's just whoop. And Americans cannot get past that story. It's just like, I'm a monster to them.
Wild, because I know there's a couple, two comedians at New York Comedy Club, and, well, sorry, one of them's not a comedian, she works there, but she's like a comedic actress, but sure. They were telling me, like, their cat, they'd only had this cat for a year, and then it swallowed a string or something, but anyway, it cost like $8,000 or something
fuck that.
To get it fixed, And I was like, oh, so you didn't just let it die? And they were like, no, like this cat is like, I'm sorry. I mean, if I don't even have $8,000 to pay for my boyfriend to get better. I'm not like,
yeah. Jesus, my son fell off the bike and broke his arm and run to the hospital. We're like, yeah, and they're like almost $4,000. We've insurance as well. I was like, yeah, it's almost $4,000. I was like, does he need both arms? Like, let's be honest. Like, it's, you know, fuck off.
No, it's crazy. Yeah, someone else as well told me. I've heard a couple of stories with cats. Someone, the cat needed to get his tooth removed and it cost like thousands. And I'm like, I should, that's ridiculous. That's why your vet's even checking their teeth. That I don't trust this country so much. I will only use immigrant doctors. Yeah, because our immigrant dentists, because immigrants won't like, they're not, the mentality isn't to like sell you extra. I'm afraid if I go to American dentists, they'll be like, oh, this tooth needs removed, this needs input, you know, because they're trying to make money off the health insurance. Whereas
Of course you are. Like I remember even growing up in Ireland and I had, honest to God, like anybody who knew me, I had the worst teeth. I looked like the predator. Like they just came in at every angle. And I would go to me mad, like, listen, can I get me fucking teeth fixed? And you would go into the dentist, like, all right, we'll see what the dentist says. So we went down to the dentist and I was only like 12, 13 at the time, maybe. And the dentist was like, well, what's after happened is you have too many teeth in your head. So they're obviously going to grow in different directions. So he was like, but we're not going to pull. Why would we pull a healthy bone out of your head just so you look good? Like, it's not hurting you in any way. Like the girls won't go near you. That's fine. But like,
great protection.
Because it's a healthy, yeah, because it's a healthy bone. Why are we pulling that from your head? But you come to America, like, oh, we must fix that smile of yours. Let's just lob 5 or 6 teeth out.
Yeah, here they'd rather you look good than
yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. Oh, God. I'm just so glad that gaps came back into fashion, because I remember when I was younger, I just didn't want to get braces. And I was like, oh, I don't really care. And then I, like, everybody over here is like beautiful straight teeth. But like in the last few years, gaps have come back into fashion. I'm like, I didn't know, but I was like setting trends.
People going home sticking like popcorn in their teeth just to whiten it.
Yeah. Or remember there was that, I remember there's that rumor in Ireland that if you have a gap in your teeth, you must be a good singer. And like, I haven't got a note in my head. So that always annoyed me, because people
I
were like,
I didn't hear that one. But I, you know what, though, it does kind of ring a bell about something and a gap in your teeth. I don't know, because I think Madonna had it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Madonna has a gap in her head. And I think that's maybe where it came from.
A gap in her head.
Whatever. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Oh, God, stop. No, that's funny as well, because with the animals, I was just saying to my friends, we're in like a group chat here, and they're like American or immigrants, but they all have, a few of them have cats, and they're all indoor cats. So they were just like posting about their cats never leave or whatever. And I was like, my cat at home is like the mayor of the town. He's outside the whole time. He's saying hello to all the different neighbors. And then I got this message from this woman who lives close to me, and she knows me from the podcast. Like I never met her before. And I don't know, like she didn't live there when I was living there, if that makes sense. But I remember being home in Ireland and her being like, oh my God, I listened to the podcast. And my dad was like laughing. He was like, that's so random. And then I got a message from her today being like, is this your cat on my wall? And she lives like a mile down the road. And I was like, that's my fucking cat. I was just saying he does this shit.
We have a cat there. I mean, and I was telling them here, like, oh, we want to get a dog. Look, if you get a dog, the cat's gone. And like, you're going to get rid of the cat. I said, no, the cat is just going to leave. It's going to pack its shit and move out. And the dog showed up, the cat left. And now the cat shows up every morning. I get up at 5 and I go and I sit on the steps in the morning just before everyone else in the chaos breaks out. And I'll sit there and the cat comes up and I feed him. I sit and I talk to the cat, but he pissed off since the dog arrived.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, no, cat. I think they have to be like maybe small kittens and small dogs maybe for them. Or I don't know. They're different in America, though. You'll see all these TikToks of the cat and the dog and the bird. And they're all sleeping together. But yeah. It is freaky how domesticated they are here compared to home. Like it's a different level. But my cat is so funny, because when I went home, my dad was complaining because I left him with my dad to move over here. And he was like, this fucking cat doesn't even kill mice. Like he's useless.
Yeah,
and then the next day in front of me, he jumped into our bin in the kitchen and pulled out a mouse and ate it whole. And I was like, this cat is fucking gaslighting my dad. Like, what are the chances?
He just comes up, he's like, tell him to fuck off.
Yeah. And I was on a podcast, a different podcast I used to do, and I was like, I'm so sorry, hold on one second, my cat is eating a mouse. And they were like, what the fuck? He was getting it on, like, he was getting it on audio proof as well.
But it's funny, when I talk about this new bit on stage and about the dog, like, I'll ask who's from another country. And it's so funny that you'll get, you know, obviously in New York, you'll get five, maybe, you know, pockets of people. And they will all agree with you. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you kind of have to get like, listen, it's not just, I'm not just an arsehole up here. The other people, like someone from Brazil, someone from Thailand, it was like Russia. And they're all like, yeah, we fucking do. Because I remember watching like those horror films. I remember like at the end, like the house is being sucked into hell. And like, and all the family, you finally get out and they escape and they get in the car. And then one of the kids goes, where's Benji? And I just remember going, well, that's what happens to Benji, I suppose. Good luck, Benji.
Fucking drive, yeah.
The dad just unhooks his seatbelt and he runs back in. I'm like, get a fucking new dog next week. What's wrong with you? Like,
I know. Yeah,
it's an American thing.
Yeah, but it's also like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but it is an American thing to, I'm going to regret saying this, but like, because they'll be taking care of dogs, right, like to the utmost standard, but maybe themselves not be able to afford to like get themselves a good doctor, or like, or there's like homeless people so much in the street here, and then a dog right. walks by with like a fancy pair of shoes on, and it's just a strange it doesn't make sense to me. I remember when I first, and this is like an old bit, I had one of my first jokes was about this, but I'm not gonna do the bit, but it's like a true story where I should probably, oh god, anyway, I was working at Bear Burger. Do you know Bear Burger?
I don't know.
Okay. It's this weird organic restaurant. Like, it's like all the burgers have like smiley pictures on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's meant to be kind of like to make people feel better about eating meat. Cause it's like a I'm happy to die type of place. And it's right, very, right. yeah, very
here's,
strange.
Hey, here's pictures of the cow riding a roller coaster at Six Flags.
No, swear to God, they would have this, like, you'd have like this thing you'd have to learn off, and it'd be like, you need to like, literally showing you like how to smile at the customers. And this is my first restaurant job over here, so I couldn't get over that, and like a script and what to say. And oh, and they would want you to sit down by the customer when you're taking their order, which I refused to. I was like, I just can't do that. I was like, that's against my culture.
Creepy, let me eat my dinner in peace.
Yeah fuck off, ew. So then they'd oh yeah, they had this thing called temple gratin theory, which is like this doctor, she's autistic, and she said that she feels the way cows do because she doesn't like when people are touching her or near her. So she made up this system so the cows like walk in a circle, and it makes their meat not as the opposite word for tender. It makes their meat tender, I guess. Yeah, because they're not, it's not gamey because they're not scared when they die. But we would have to learn all this and tell people. And I'm kind of like, oh, this is gonna be far.
I think that's shit too. Like, how does the meat change? Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a normal, healthy cow, and if you sneak up behind it, boo! Oh, you've just ruined the fucking steaks now. Like, it's not.
Ooh, this steak tastes spooky. This guy was spooked for sure.
Yeah, you're taking a bite of him. Fear of heights?
Yeah. No, stop. It's so true. And then I remember I was working, this is one of the first shifts I worked, and they had like vegan carrot cakes, and they were $15, so that was like twice what I was making hourly. And this lady came in, and she sat her dog up at the table, which again was like shock and horror to me, because just off the bloody plane from Ireland, and we would never, animals would never be allowed in. And sat up at the table, and she ordered him a vegan carrot cake, vegan, and asked me to put a candle in it for his birthday. And I then asked me to sing happy birthday to the dog.
Yeah, I would. I would. That would have been the first mass shooting I'd ever experienced. And I would have been the one to done it.
I couldn't believe it. Here's this dog eating a cake twice the amount of my hourly wage and expect me to sing. But it was just wild. It's like it's just a different world. I even found that when I first moved over, I lived in Greenwich. And I was working at a country club there, and I've never seen, like, in Ireland, it's not possible to be that level of wealthy.
Yeah.
And it's just insane what they need for their identity. Like, the amount of stuff they need, and the delusions, and they're in this like little bubble. They had a server for every table. I mean, you'd get in trouble if they had to fill their own water, that type of, like, it's ridiculous. That's, and they also don't tip. So they pay you all like a set wage, which I didn't realize at the time, then when I moved up to New York, I was like, fuck, I was getting totally ripped off. I'm making way more money up here by getting tipped.
It's crazy, man. But yeah, the stuff they need, like, just to feel, you know, and they'll, like I said, they'll put their animals into it. Like, the animals get, you know, they bring them into play, like the bank. Like, that's the weird, I used to work in a bank. I'm like, and I remember I'd be standing there, whatever, and like someone walk in with a dog, and I'm like, does nobody else see the dog? Who's going to say it? Do you want me to say something? There's a dog in the bank. You know what I mean? And everyone's like, no,
he's trying to get a loan, okay? He needs new shoes.
Something like that. Or my favorite part is when Americans, they talk for their dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, they come into the bank and they're like, oh, he's like, I don't know what to do with all this money. Like, no, he's not. Your dog doesn't understand finances. You just dragged him out of the car.
Yeah, no, I also think the whole, and you see this on TikTok a lot, and it is Americans usually doing it, or you see it walking down the street and they're like, you know, like, mommy, and they're talking to the dog. It's like, it's not your kid. You didn't give birth to that dog. And if you did, then you should go to jail. Like, that's like,
exactly.
Christianity.
Oh, my favorite one is we don't deserve dogs. No, we do. We like, why don't we deserve them? What, like, you fucking idiots.
I saw one yesterday, and it was like, God, sorry, I feel bad now, but I get so cringed by some of these TikToks. But it was someone, and they're obviously sad, so I'm sorry that they're sad, but they posted on TikTok like, was
not sad.
I know, right? Well,
they're looking for attention. Sorry, they're looking for attention.
I know. And we're all sad, like, at some levels. But like, he posted this TikTok saying, or she, I don't know what, I didn't even listen, I just read the words, but it was like, was crying, going, having a hard time, going through a rough patch. And then the cat walked up to me, and then it just goes, and the cat, he's petting the random cat. And then he goes, we don't deserve cats. And I was like, I hope the fucking cat bit him afterwards.
Cat was hungry, you fucking idiot. You know what I mean? The cat didn't sense. Do you know what I mean? And those crying people on TikTok, and do you know what it's like to send a TikTok? You have to set your phone up, you have to go into the app. So what, are you just crying? And you know what I mean? You got to go in, you got to get into the app. You got to
retake about four of them.
And as soon as you go in, right? Look at that girl is twerking at the gym, right? So you're going to, so then you got to be crying, and you got to record, and you have to put your words in. You're full of shit. You're full of shit. And for these people, like, I saw something on TikTok as well about this cat. And this is the difference in cats, like why I don't like them. I don't hate any animals. I just don't. They're sneaky. Like they use cats. They play the game. Like meow. Did you know that cats don't meow anywhere else in the world? They only do it just for humans because we're fucking idiots and we realize that it's cute. So that's like, so they're manipulating bastards. So like, there's one video of this girl, and she was doing her farewell speech online, because why not do it online? And she just. And then all of a sudden the cat came up and crawled on her lap, and then she didn't kill herself anymore.
Oh, it was a kill herself story. Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah. I thought farewell, like, she was moving country. I'm such an idiot. Oh. I would have been like, see you later.
Oh, so we're talking about the same one then. And she was going off herself.
No, I didn't see it, but I'm just, from what you said, I don't think I would have realized. Okay, God, that's awful.
She was going off herself. But I just remember I said to my wife, it's like, you know what? Our fucking cat would just like drag a gun onto the table. Like, here, use that. Like, they're fucking evil.
My cat's made. I've a ton of bits about like dogs versus cats and stuff, because I just love the whole argument. I think in America it's as fucking,
you're like getting political.
Yeah, it's as polarizing as abortion. So I have a ton of abortion jokes, and then I go into dog versus cats, and it's so funny. They react more about the dogs versus cats, but I'm more of a cat person, so that's like a fun stance to take, because that's the rarity. So I've all these bits to sell people on cats. But my cat at home, the one I left with my dad, so I had him from a kitten. And it was funny because I've always wanted a black cat, and I was living with my ex-boyfriend at the time, and my two best friends text him saying, we're gonna get Katie a cat for her birthday. And I grew up with cats, like, and I mean, cats were like always like a comfort in my house, and my house was super crazy, like, you know, but these cats were like great, let's say. So and one of them would walk me to school and be waiting for me after school. So like, I don't know what it is with me. My stepmom was like, I don't know, I think you've like weird pheromones or something that they smell, because it is strange, like cats will walk up on the street at me. But so she went to get this black cat. My boyfriend said no cats, and they were like, fuck him, we're getting our cat. And so they went anyway, and it was a Polish man, and he said in broken English, the only cat that's not for sale is this black cat that he wanted to keep. And my cousin is like, she doesn't give a fuck about anything, and she was like, all right, cool, so the black cat is the one for sale. And she took the cat and left the money and walked out, and the guy was just probably like Corva, you know. But so they get the cat. My boyfriend's at the time so pissed off about it, and one night we were fighting, where he was accusing me of like cheating on him, which I didn't do. He did this all the time. He was a piece of shit. But he pushed me up against the wall, and my cat you know, scared at him or whatever, and then moved over to his side of the bed and did a big shit. So he's super loyal, and I love that as well. I love that about cats.
Very Amber Heard, like
That's the joke. The joke I say I go. My cat was the first Amber Heard
because
I had the joke for ages, and I had a different punchline, and then this fucking Amber Heard comes out and starts shitting on beds, and I was like, oh. And then I'm telling it on stage. I know the whole time that's what people are thinking, so I had to edit my joke because of this fucking Amber Heard lady. I was so pissed off, but I've edited it to include her just because they're already thinking about it. But then, what was great about this cat is, I would call him when I'm at home and when I come home from work, and he would meow the whole way to like let me know he's coming. And then so I drop him off in my dad's, and 2 years I couldn't get home because I was like figuring out my visas and stuff. And then I get home and my dad was like, my dad said he was pretty pissed off to be like down there. Like he didn't talk to anybody. Not that he talks, but you know what I mean? He didn't come up to the house for like a month.
Being back there at his fucking...
Yeah, he's like fucking left here, abandoned. But then he got used to it now. And now he's like, you know, going around talking to all the neighbors and stuff. But when I came home after 2 years, I called his name and he came out of the field and meowed all the way up and jumped into my arms. And my dad was like, I've never seen that before. And now every time I go home, I do it and he comes up. So
I was like, I don't even love you that much.
Yeah. He's like, I wasn't even going to pick you up from the airport. I don't know what's going on here.
Don't tell you the bus change. It's no longer the 52, it's the 55.
Yeah. So I love cats, but I can see how other people have horror stories. Like I knew a vet in Dublin who got his eye ripped out from a cat. So there's two sides to it for sure. But yeah, that's my pro cat story.
Yeah, again, I don't think they're great at all. I don't.
You're like,
them.
He just wants to eat you.
Yeah, I don't see them. Like, I just love all animals. I just think people go too far and don't treat them as animals. That's where I draw the line. You know, that kind of craziness.
No,
when I go on stage and I'll talk about like my dad died 2 years ago of cancer. I'll say on stage, right, and the room will go silent. And then I go, about a week later, my mother sat down with the dog and she said to the dog, his dog of 15 years, she said to the dog, look at Danny is gone, blah, 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 blah. And the dog started to cry, right? And the whole audience goes, oh, I go, yeah, but when I said my dad died, nobody gave a fuck. But the second that the dog died, everyone is like crying because my dog died like the night my mother told my dad died. The dog died like that night.
Jeez.
And everyone's like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, but how about the man that raised me? Like he's gone, died of cancer, you know, five siblings, like all of us gone. Like, you know what I mean? The man who provided for us, who gave up all his dreams of being in a band probably just because we came along and you couldn't give a fuck about. But as soon as I mentioned the dog die, and they're like, oh, passing tissues around.
Yeah, it must. No, it's true. They have much more empathy for animals then. And it's funny because it's all like levels of hypocrisy too as well, because they have more empathy for a dog, but then they're like shit on a vegan. And I'm like, I get that. But it's also like, I don't know, you're not that much better than a vegan either. And then you're kind of hypocritical because you're treating this animal like it's your baby, but then you're like giving it, I don't know, there's lots of levels to it. I do feel, now I'm not a vegan and I'll never be it, but I also am at like, having dogs as replacement babies. So
yeah, I just think people are on the whole full of shit. Most of the people are full of shit, and they don't, like, even with vegans, right? Like if you want to, like I was a pescatarian for about 4 years and that was a health choice. It wasn't out of cruelty, and all that is like I would eat a lot of fish because I was back fighting again, and I just found that I could keep my weight down easier by staying away from meat. Now I just eat meat. I love meat. But like if you talk to a vegan, they're doing it for health reasons, then whatever they want to do. But like if it's for the cruelty of the animal, what they don't realize is that more animals die in farming when they're getting the food for the vegans than they do by killing animals. Like, cause you have these fields that are being ripped apart by combine harvesters. All the animals have to move into different and they're getting killed, mice, moles. So what level of animal do you give a shit about? Like, cause they're gone. Snakes, they're gone. Like all these animals that live in these fields that you're farming are all like thousands are gone. So you could have your fucking, I don't know, fucking potato sandwich or whatever the fuck you're eating. That sounds disgusting. Yeah. A potato sandwich.
But it's true. I never even thought about it that way. I mean,
they don't look that up. Like I'm talking about millions of animals die from farming. Not intentional. It's just the way it goes. Like all these animals who are living amongst those crops are now gone. They have no place to go. They're just get mowed right over. And they're like, yeah, but it's cruel to animals. Well, you're killing them for your fucking corn.
Yeah. And then there was things as well about the... I can't remember. It was one of the milks, but it was like really bad because the certain area they were like farming the milk or something. I don't know now. I have it in my head, but I can't figure out what the right words of it are.
Chernobyl,
but it was like
milk.
Yeah, it was like fucking up the environment somehow, but I can't remember. It was like soya milk, which I drink non-dairy milk just because the milk here hurts my stomach. Again, it's not not for the feeling of the cow, but like the soya milk has hormones in it, which you don't know about. So I think that's the other thing as well with the vegans. There's like a lot that they don't know because it's still new. And then like my boobs, because my boobs grew when I came over here and I was drinking the milk. So there's definitely hormones in the milk. Okay. And then I stopped it and they shrunk. Okay, so and then I started drinking soy milk and my skin broke out. I got like cystic acne and my boobs grew again. And then someone told me, oh, they're like hormones in soy milk. It's actually very bad for you. So then I quit that and then they shrunk and my skin got better. I've had a roller coaster with my boobs here in America.
Have you heard of any milks that make your dick grow?
No.
Ask him for a friend.
What if you never need tits? Okay, just drink soy milk.
Soy milk and next thing is
yeah. But you know what you said is really, just go back to your point, is really important, because I think people will say and do things to make themselves feel better, like that whole full of shit. So it's like, okay, yeah, I'm a vegan, but I also cheat on my boyfriend, but it's okay that I cheat on my boyfriend because I'm saving animals. Like, we all people do all these things to make themselves feel like, it's like the abortion people, they're they're just doing that because it's like, well, I'm helping this soul. But to absolve themselves from the guilt of not helping all the fucking people on the planet who need help now, like, and all this, they're the same people who are ruining the environment. They're just making those babies be born into fucking a late term abortion because sure, the world's not going to survive what they're doing in the future. So it's like, it's just their way of absolving their guilt and being like, I'm a Christian, I'm helping, but they're not helping the people who actually need the help. So it's just like,
You know, the weird thing is, like, I've traveled, I've been in many countries when I used to fight and stuff, and I've been to some really fucking poor areas in the world, and to the point where I was fishing and there's a bunch of kids waiting to see if I was going to take home the fish. And I would just feel like, there you go, lads, have it. Like, and they would take the fish and it would run home with it to eat. Like, and then the next day, like, I would go with this guy in Turkey. And then you would go the next day, and then there's like four more kids, and then it started to grow. And I was like, gee, like, I'm like, Jesus Christ, right? I don't have that kind of fit. So my point is, now my daughter is an American, right? Born and raised here in school. She's 15. So she's all into the pronouns argument. Now, whatever you want to call yourself, that's fine. Like, it is. I don't care if you want to transition and all that shit. You want to, that's none of my business. That's you, again, not to a famous quote of everyone is saying, your body, your choice. Do what the fuck you want with it. But don't get in my face. And I think the reason why, like, you haven't seen real struggle. Like, this is a sign that you have your life so easy that the fact that I didn't say they, them, is if that's what bugs you, when I'm able to watch children fight over fish that you pulled out of a shitty river, you know what I mean? Like, you think if you say to them, like, oh, here's a fish, by the way, do I say him or her when I give you the fish? They don't give a shit. And it's, again, people are just, like, they don't know how good they have it. And if that's the hill you're going to die on, that's your battle, that's what you're going to fight about, then you're so lucky that that's all that's bothering you, is that someone said the wrong thing to you. Like, that's, if that's the thing that upsets you, then you're very lucky to be if that's what it takes.
And I think there's like an interesting point there, because when people get mad, and we see this a lot with like we're liberals our size, where it's like they shut people down and get mad at them instead of just going, like, for an example, I had a person who's from the South and said something about abortion. And instead of me getting mad, I was like, well, you know, because they're a man and they're from a different area. And I know that they're surrounded with people who think that way. But instead I was like, well, actually, when you think about it this way, and I use things from Ireland and all the things women went through. And I was like, so I understand that you wouldn't know that because you're not a woman or have experienced this. And he actually said afterwards, oh, I never thought about it that way. And I didn't know that people were going through that. And so, like, I think you can, instead of attacking people, be like, well, actually, this is my side and this is my experience. And I think if you by accidentally say he or she, and they just go, I personally prefer going by they, then it's like, oh my God, of course. I'm so, like, and they'll be like, don't even apologize. That's great. Because the problem with getting mad at people for not saying they, there was a comedian, and they got mad that a comedy club didn't say they. okay? So, or they brought them up as the wrong pronoun. And so they brought them up as a he or she instead of a what they wanted, let's say. And so they got mad. And then this comedy club kind of was like, fuck. And they started bringing everybody up as they. But I had to ask them. So they brought me up as they a couple of times. And I had to go back and say, look, I totally understand what happened. And I'm sorry that that happened. But I'm not a they. And I can't have the audience looking at me being like, oh, she does look a little masculine or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or trying to figure out what the fuck I am. And I
did your work because it's really, it's not exactly all the way there yet, but it is kind of good.
She is slouching there and she's wearing that. And I wear checkered shirts and I know like I wear man shirts and that's a part of my style. I'm very comfortable in that. But I had to say to them, I was like, I'm totally fine with anybody else wanting to be referred as them, but I'm a she and I'm very proud to be a she and I want to be referred to as a she because I don't want to have to go up there and be like, actually, no, I'm a lady or I'm a she or whatever. And that's fine. And I think that to appease this one person, then they started calling everybody they. And I was kind of like, well, it's uncomfortable for me getting up there because they are just looking at me kind of. And now I have to kind of address that a little bit and be like, well, you know, as a lady, I am here to host the show. And I'm proud to be a woman and I'm proud to be a she. And I like that. So I think with this situation, that person could have been like, oh, like that was really annoying or whatever. Can you call me a they from now on? And they would have been like, yeah, absolutely. And then kind of do it case by case. What
did you achieve by that? Not you, but in general, by making the club. What did you achieve? Like, there's nothing going on in your life that this is what you have. How about you just go up there and be fucking funny? And whatever situation happened, learned. Like, here's the thing too. Like, comics, we can say the most horrific shit in our personal lives and then just go, ah, I'm a comedian, I can say that. Which is not, I don't always agree with it. It's acceptable to say stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and go, ah, well, I'm a comedian, I can get away with it. But also, like, we should know better than anybody that being offended is a choice. Do you know what I mean? Like, and for us to go to a club and then the MC who didn't know the rules of day-dem, like for him now to be chastised is the greatest crock of shit ever.
Also, this same person who did this, he's like the loveliest human, by the way. And secondly, he's brought me up as a he twice just because I know, and I never even said anything about it. Like, one time I just laughed it off with the audience and I was like, I guess I'm a man now. And they were laughing and it's fine. Who cares? And that's all that person probably had to do as well. And like, I just know for him, he's not a performer. It's stressful bringing up people on the God mic. You have to do all the things. He's new enough to the club and he's such a kind, like he's like one of the kindest souls. And I remember him, like when he was saying it to me, he looked visibly upset. He was like, it wasn't like, and I was like, I go, I don't know if you know this, but you've called me he three times and I don't give a fuck. And he was like, oh my God. And I was like, it's fine. I was like, we're all kind of like, but I think
he's a victim of the times and it's not even his fault.
He's also just probably said the wrong word. I say the wrong words all the time. Words are hard, especially when you have to God mic it to a room. I'll listen back to my sets and I'll be like, no wonder that joke didn't work. It's about a dog. And I said, cat. Why did I say cat? You know, like, yeah, I mean, yeah. We all just slip up. But like, I think you're right. If you want to be called they, that's totally fine. 100%. Whatever you want. If you want to be called Apple. But just say it to people in a like, hey, I actually prefer and let people. Yeah. But I think we can just like educate people, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like I was down in Florida recently and I was looking for a new motorcycle. So I was looking for a new Harley. So I go to this huge Harley dealership and I go in and I'm talking to this guy and cowboy hat, long hair. You know what I mean? His name was Bob. Of course it was. And I asked him about a certain bike, which is a Harley Heritage. And he's like, I don't have any. He goes, but I ride one of those. He goes, come in and show you in the back. So he brings me out to the back of the Harley dealership, right? Like, it's like a storeroom where they have all these bikes that are not for sale and collector, where sometimes like people will store their collector's bikes. Very VIP area kind of. So I go in there and he shows me his license plate. Now I can't obviously say the license plate because that would be considered doxing, but in the middle of the license plate, there was numbers. There was the initials NTNT, Nancy Terry, whatever, right? So I go, what does the NT stand for? And he went, N-word this, N-word that. And I went, all right, well, listen, you have a great day. Thanks for showing me around. Like, I really appreciate it. And I came out and I told my friend Adam and he was like, he goes, what happened? And I goes, I'll tell you in the car. And we got it because he didn't want to be in earshot of talking about it. So I told Adam what happened and I was like, you know what offended me the most? Not what he said, because he's just ignorant and you will never change those people.
Yeah.
But what offended me the most was like, what about me made him think, this guy gets it. Like, what about, you know what I mean? I, to this day, Katie, I'm still going, am I giving off a vibe? Like,
you do look a bit like an American soldier.
But I don't want
not saying that American soldiers, but you know, that kind of like Marine who might be like, oh, ha ha, I don't know. I feel bad now. American soldiers gonna message me and be like, what the fuck do you think makes us look like that?
But I just it's still racking my brain. Like, what about me? And then the worst thing happened. Like, then I was at the comic strip the following Saturday, and in between my sets at the comic strip, I go and do my first set, recorded the audio, and I go to Insomnia Cookies across the street. I take the cookies, I walk the 5 blocks down, I sit on the steps of the Met, I listen to my set, and I'll eat the cookies. So I'm sitting there by myself. This is only a few weeks back. And I see this Asian couple, and they're like, he's taking a picture of her outside the Met. She's taking a picture of him outside the Met. And I go, do you want me to take a picture of you two together? And he's like, no, dude, I'm fine. I'm like, fuck.
No. No. I was like, you're
that's
so old.
Maybe that's what I'm doing.
It's so funny. That's so bad.
I was like, God damn it. And I had like nothing but great intentions. Like I wanted to help them out as a couple. But my mind was like, they can't have it.
You're probably thinking tourists from a different country, where they're probably tourists from like Arkansas.
Right, but their poses were so touristy. It wasn't just like, you know, take a picture, like I'm outside the Met. It was just like all this, holding up the Met and stuff. I was like, fuck me, I can't win.
It's funny though, because like, obviously in that case, it could be seen as like offensive or whatever, but when it's done to like a white person, it's not seen as offensive. No, I know that you didn't mean anything bad, and we both know that, and all the listeners know that, but I had a situation where someone did that to me. They walked up to me, spoke fluent Polish, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I don't know what you're saying. And then the guy goes, oh, Polish American doesn't even know her language. And I was like, it's not my language, it's never been my language, I'm not from Poland, I'm from Ireland. And he goes, you've a Polish face. So then he walked off.
Is that an insult?
No. I don't know. But that's Polish, what I'm people saying. Are hot.
But was he insulting you? That's my point though. Like, you have a Polish face, and walked off.
I think it's like, it's funny because you like, the only way I can rationalize it, it's not offensive to me because it's never been used. And you doing that, it wasn't in an offensive way. But,
right,
if I walked up to you,
not to cut you off, and I said, oh, look at you with your big Brazilian arse. You go, oh, thanks very much. Like, that's what I mean. So is you, look at you, got a Polish face. That's what I mean. Is it considered an insult or a compliment?
Well, no, because he's Polish. So I'm sure he just meant, you think he was like pissed off or something that I'm not Polish. But I think it's like, it's also, that's something that I haven't grown up with that's been used against me. And I think so when you were going over there to them, they knew. But if you went over there and did it like in a rude, like where some white Americans will be like, let's say if there was an Asian person in front of them and they weren't moving fast enough, they might do that. Do you even understand me? Like move, like condescending, patronizing. Yeah. And that's where it pisses them off, because it's like been used against them their whole life, or like some rude person be like, do you even speak English? And they're like, yeah, I speak better English than you.
I hate when I see that. I fucking hate when I see that.
So that's like, that's the difference.
Right. But I got a lot of friends like who are Spanish and Brazilian and you know, and people will say something to them, like, and they will communicate with you perfectly. It's like, do you understand how hard it is to be fluent in two languages? Like, give them a minute if they fucking stumble over a word. Give them a second.
I stumble over words and English is my first language.
I'm brutal. Like, even like my wife will keep correcting me all day. She's an English major. So all day. I remember, and this is not a bit, but like, I was away in a hotel and I was like, I don't know, let's start sexting. Let's try to get that going. Right. And I was like, I was sending this thing. I was like, fucking, I want to do this to you, dad. Like, you're very sexy. And she writes back, it's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, you retard. And I'm like, like, do you know
what I mean? In the mood though with an English major.
Yeah, it does.
But it's so true. Like, I mean, an American, well, Irish people, and I wanted to write, I talked about it on stage last night, and I do want to write a bit about it, but hopefully the Irish listeners will message me and be like, if this is wrong. But my theory is that we speak a bad English because good English sounds like British. So we kind of sound a bit dumb sometimes, or we like use our own kind of makey up words, or they're closer to Irish sometimes. So we don't speak the same English as Americans. And then Americans speak their own made up English as well, and they just drop the U's and they do whatever they want. And then they say, oh, like immigrants are speaking English. So I posted that patriot joke that fucking everybody's going mental about, but all of it is like, no, immigrants don't assimilate. And it's like, what are you talking, like, assimilate to what? Like, what is your idea of assimilation? Right. And then secondly, all of them spell their spellings are wrong. So they're like, right. You're, they all use "you're" in the wrong way when they're shouting at me. Like, you know, you're like, you're a bad immigrant, or you're the reason, and it's all wrong. And I'm like, you're talking about people assimilate and you're giving out that they're speaking English. You don't even know how to spell English. You don't even know your words. Like, I would never give out about anybody not spelling, because I don't know how to spell, and I would never use it against people. But it's just so like the delusion and the hypocrisies is.
Yeah, the like I even like remember like you watched the Little Mermaid, and I'm a big Disney fan, and it's like, you want thingamabobs? I've got 20. I was like, where's their N? And there's a T there. You totally left out the T. Or Santa Claus is coming to town. It's Santa. Santee, Santa Claus. It's pick one of them. It's not Santa.
Yeah.
Like there's a fucking T in there, and you're supposed to then yell at me that I can't talk good.
Yeah, they'll yell at, they'll like slag us then because we don't use our H in trees. And it's like, yeah, but you also do. Oh God, I can't even. And it's funny because that joke I posted was like a joke about how immigrants love America more. And then the amount of people, and I'm like saying about how all like the things I gave up to be here and stuff. And the amount of people are like, if you hate it that much, then leave. I'm like, did you even watch the whole, do you even get the joke?
They don't stay here. I've noticed, and I'm so glad I went on to TikTok, because if I ever do get some sort of fame and the hateful people come out, I know what they are now. So I'm not annoyed by them. I hope you're at that level too, where you genuinely are not annoyed by them. Because I posted up 3 jokes now, and I think the algorithm has sent me to other people, to people who like to fight. One joke is, which is still going on my page, it's nearly 4 million views, and the people are still fighting. And all I said was, I don't know if you watch Star Wars at all. My son said to me, why are people arguing about gun control? I was like, well, do you remember in Star Wars when Anakin Skywalker went in to the Jedi school and he did that horrible thing to all the younglings, which he goes in and he kills all a bunch of children? I go, well, now imagine half the galaxy are trying to get rid of all the lightsabers. That's what they're arguing about, right? And it's just a fucking, not all jokes are funny, Katie, you know that. We swing and we miss sometimes.
I think it's a good joke, and it's true.
Three groups of people, if you go onto my TikTok and look at the comments, there's 3 people. One group are the people who love guns and they think this is the best analogy and I should run for office. No bullshit. They're duetting my video. How simple is this? This guy is a genius. The other people hate my guts because they think I'm so pro-gun. And then the third group are Star Wars fans, and they're the fucking worst. They're like, well, you know, to get a lightsaber, you have to qualify for crystals and all. And on the moon of Endor, I'm like, I'm done.
Well, also, I took your joke. I must be an idiot next. I took your joke as like, oh, like just basically as like, oh, yeah, they're trying to, it's trying to get rid of guns off everybody. I didn't take it as you being pro-gun.
But that's my point. And the good thing about like that.
They reinterpret what they want, don't they?
They really do. And it's like, I put a joke about immigrants too. I go, one thing Americans hate is when immigrants tell them more about their own country. I go, for example, did you know that George Washington wasn't actually the first president? The first president was John Hanson. And like, which he was, because when they said, let's have a president, they hadn't decided yet. So they go, John Hanson, can you kind of cover things to George Washington? George Washington recognized him as the first president in all his memoirs. And all these Americans like, you fucking got that wrong. And it's not America. It's the United States of America. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Do you say United States of America every time you talk to everybody? Where are you from? United States of America. No, you don't. You're lying.
Oh, I have a good, that reminds me as well. And this isn't about America, but I put up a joke about a woman saying, because she was like, I studied in Ireland, or she goes, I studied in the UK. And I was like, oh, where? And she goes, Ireland. And I go, I was just like, bitch, this is not the UK. And she was like, I mean, Northern Ireland. And I was like, okay, then say Northern Ireland. But all I meant was like, yeah, specify, because obviously where I grew up, Ireland is always referred to as the Republic of Ireland, and I know Northern Ireland is also on Ireland, but when you're talking about it in UK terms, you would always say Northern Ireland. Right. You would never say, but the amount of people are like, this partitioning bitch, and I'm like, I'm not wanting partition. I don't care. It's just a fun thing, because I have lived here for 7.5 years, and daily Americans will say to me like, oh, you're from the UK, and I'm like, I'm not. I'm from Ireland, and they don't know. So it's more about this American, and this one guy was like, your comedy's not good enough to be like a participant. Like, I can't even say the word. I don't care what goes on between the North and the South, whatever you guys want to do. And and then he said like something, he like insulted my comedy, and I couldn't help but reply. But I was like, he said something about how, I wish now I had screenshot, but it was like, you need to be careful with your words in the future, say Republic of Ireland, because the North is on Ireland. And I replied and I said, where, you know, I always grew up that Ireland is a republic. And if you're going to specify in UK terms, you would say Northern Ireland. But it's hypocritical that you are messaging me, telling me I need to be sensitive with my words, but then also telling me my comedy is shit as, like, and he used a couple of curses. And I was like, why is it okay for you not to be careful with my with your words, but you expect me to be? And then he just never applied. And I think that's the thing that they need to remember. Stop interpreting things and stop coming on to comedians' pages like we're fucking politicians. We're just having a laugh. It's a joke. Get the fuck out of here.
100%. And I think you used way too many words there to say fuck off.
Yeah, like, yeah, I know, you're
that's
right.
That's all I do. I go,
I know. Fuck off.
I let them pour their heart and soul out, their misery, the fact that they go to a job that they hate. Your choice. The fact that you're married to a fucking piece of shit, your choice. That your kids are ungrateful pieces of shit, your choice. But don't come onto my page and take your anger out on me on your phone, because I laugh at them. I really do. Yeah. And because of TikTok, doesn't happen to me on Instagram. Instagram is I haven't taken off on Instagram, but I'm starting to go now under the school of Dave Nihil's way to run social media. But I find the TikTok people have prepared me for the future to realize that most people are fucking idiots. Most people out there in the world are idiots.
I was nervous at my patriotic joke because everybody who comments bad stuff now, I ignore a lot of it, and it's gone so far that I honestly couldn't read all the comments even if I wanted to. But that's
the problem too. Yeah,
like, it's kind of scary because it's like all the comments I saw, they had like guns, and I was kind of like, fuck, I don't want to get like, A, I don't want to get in trouble if some scary like ICE officer sees, and B, I don't want like someone to come and shoot me at a show. And it's they're so, all of these people who are writing this stuff, and it's funny because you had said to me like, oh, like, it's good that you're doing stuff with Luis Gomez, even though he's banned me from the podcast for a year because I slept out and missed one. But in my defense, they didn't remind me the day before. Like, I can't remember if you asked me a few days before, and it was like that holiday. So I thought it was, I woke up thinking it was Monday, but it was actually Tuesday. But like, whatever, that's their fault. They should have reminded me. But and I could do with a break with that. But so a lot of his fans who follow me, and some of them are, two of them are signed up to the Patreon. So I'm obviously not talking to you guys, but a lot, I know this because I was seeing the comments, and I've seen them comment before, and they were all getting mad at my abortion joke and my patriotic joke, and they were getting so offended. And I was like, this is hilarious, because they're the same people listening to Real Ass Podcast, Legion of Skanks, complaining that we can't joke about women and minorities. But then you get upset when someone makes a joke about your country. That is so hypocritical.
I here's the problem. Again, it's just a theory. It's not gospel. I just think that a comedy club has now become the safest place in America, because you go to any job that you work in, if it's an office or whatever, and you have to call people, like we said earlier, by their pronouns, and you can't say this, you're getting trouble. So you're on edge all day, not necessarily on edge, but you're walking a line all day. You're in, you're kept in a box all day, behaving yourself, can't say this, can't say that. And then you come to a comedy club and the doors are locked, and it's like anything goes, and you can kind of unleash yourself, and you can be, oh yeah, yeah, fucking say that. Yeah, say, make fun of guns. I love that. But then we put it to the outside world, who are fans of comedy, but they're not fan. They're not, they've never probably been to a comedy club in their life. Yeah. Like, do you know how long, many years, and I've been a fan of comedy since I was 5 years old when I listened to Billy Connolly records. And I'd never been to a comedy club until I was 22.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? So these people can be diehard fans. There's enough shit on Netflix and HBO and Showtime that can keep you into comedy for the rest of your life and never set foot into a comedy club. But people don't get the appreciation for a comedy club. And then when we project it, and we're technically, through the eyes of the industry as of right now, we're nobodies, right? So who are you? But if Dave Chappelle said the same things you said, or Louis C.K., Bill Burr, any of the greats, any of the legends said the same thing you said, it would be laughed at, or they have earned the respect to say that, when really we're comedians. This is our job. This is our path. We have the fucking right to say what we want to. You have the right to just not laugh. Just don't laugh.
But that's the thing. It's not like me and you don't joke about minorities. We don't joke about, we don't insult, obviously I don't insult women. Your comedy is never insulting women. So we make jokes about like families and stories and all that stuff. Right. And so that's why it was crazy to me that the joke that I'm making was just a silly joke about America, a country, and that those people who are annoyed with cancel culture. And I know, because you can tell by their page, the guns and all that stuff, were so offended by that. And it's just hilarious to me that it's like, okay, you really have to be careful. Like what you said, making a joke about guns, that should be fine. Even the people who have guns should be like, whatever, bang, bang, bang. But they get, right. it's like you're attacking their identity or something. They get it. They take it so personal. Yeah. And yeah, it's like you said, they're just taking out their shit online. But
And no country is without their shitty history from the people who ran it, from the people who were in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember as a kid growing up, and like, you know, my dad's dead now, so I can talk shit about him. But like, he was very anti-gay people, and, you know, very like he was a bit racist, I guess. But I think I don't want to say all Irish people were back then, but I don't want to say that because I can't assume that they were. You know what I mean? But like, I had the choice then to not participate in that. Right. So my point is that you grow up, that no country is without, with the people in it, even like, so even these people who are defending America, we make a joke about our observation, but things we see, you can't speak for me about what I see, how I see things. It's not your place to tell me that. So yeah. I have the option to go, all people in Ireland are like this fucking idiot who was kind of saying all that shit. Or I can go, you know what? That's just him based on his struggle, his life, his opinion. So I just think every country, and then for these guys to come back and defend their own country, which is great. You should defend your country. People should be proud of where they're from. There's a lot of that going on where you're not allowed to be happy where you're from. Be fucking happy where you're from. Be proud of where you're from. But like, you can't judge anyone else and assuming that you're come from this squeaky clean country and you yourself is without sin. So you can go ahead and fucking cast the first stone. Nobody can in any country.
Yeah. And it's also like, no, it's a joke. You don't need to come on and be like, oh, she fell from a country, which is hilarious. I'd love to fall from that tree. And I did fall from a country. So he's not wrong. Or like, you know, to feel so attacked when you need to know it says comedy and I'm, yeah, and even and also just like get the joke because it's like, you know,
right.
But I mean, they just interpret it. And then there was something you said there that I thought was really interesting. Oh, because you're right about Ireland. I would never say Ireland's perfect. Ireland, like after, you know, getting independence from the Brits, turned super misogynistic. Like, oh, you all of a sudden invited the Catholic Church in, all those things that happened to those women, those unmarried women. Oh, if you get married, you couldn't work. Like, I mean, women suffered a lot after that. So, like, you have to know, like, and like, our country's getting better because they recognize a lot of that and they still have a lot of work to do. But it's like, yeah, yeah. Oh, but they're just so brainwashed here. You know, like someone wrote underneath my post, healthcare is not a right. What are you talking about? What do you think you're paying your taxes? Like, that's madness.
Yeah, and again, it's they're judging everybody else based on their situation. Like, they have it so good, and they don't really like. Here's the thing about, to go back to what I said about that guy, the Harley dealership, that guy who was racist. I knew racism existed in America, right? Because as it exists in every country, but never thought it was bad, right? Because I couldn't understand it being bad because every person I hang around with in the city, let there be black comics, Spanish comics, Asian comics, the audience to come up afterwards and they're high five and hugging, sit down. Yeah, join us at the table. So I'm like, I don't see this racism everyone's talking about. But then when you go down south and you, like, that guy was so, like, he went to the DMV and filled out those forms, got online. Like, he really wanted that license plate. So for me to be kind of a little bit naive to think that, like, that racism doesn't exist as bad as people are saying it is, when really there are parts of the country where it fucking is, because that guy existed. That guy went, like, he got that. That's what he means. And I told my friend, you know, Mike Britt.
Yeah.
So I told Mike Britt this story. And I just remember, like, he was kind of laughing along the way too. But he was like, do you see what I'm talking about, though? Like, it does. And I could tell it really hit a nerve with him. You know what I mean? And Mike is one of the nicest guys, one of the funniest guys. And he doesn't look like he's offended. But like, that story kind of hurt his feelings to know that it goes on. So when these people go, it's all fucking, there's nothing wrong with healthcare, whatever their argument is, whatever hill they're going to die on, you're looking at it from your perspective. You're not looking at it from somebody else who genuinely, maybe their life was saved by a gun, right? Maybe someone genuinely needed an abortion because of a health issue, or maybe the other side of that they were with a girl, they wanted the kid so bad, and then she said, fuck it, I'm gonna go get rid of this kid. So it's really about your perspective of what way you're looking at the problem.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And people just will shit on you, like, they'll shit on your comedy because it's not what they agree with. Bless you. It's not what they agree with. You know what I mean? It's like Star Wars. What? Yeah. You insulted Star Wars. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and I think, and that's the thing with comedy now, we're seeing how easily, no matter what, like, I could get and put up a joke about oranges and people would be like, fuck you, an orange killed my granny in 74. And you're like, what? I mean, it's getting so personal. And I think what you said about racism is a good point, because, you know, we'll never understand it because we're just not that person. Do you know, I'm not a person who grew up here Asian,
sure,
in school, having people do the accent at me, you know, whatever they experienced during COVID, because I'm not that person. And it's the same with men, right? And men, like, I'll have a ton of guy friends be like, no, men don't assault that much, men don't do this. And it's like, well, you don't experience it because you're not a woman walking home at night, you're not a woman, right, who's been assaulted, you're not a, and so then when you start to explain it, they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And it's like, until you're actually the person, yeah, it's so hard. Like, we'll never understand. And I think that's really
just go to a gym and watch the average woman working out and the amount of fucking creeps staring at her. Not like, I'll see a good looking girl, I go, 1, 2, 3, I saw that, that's in my mind now. But these other guys will just fucking focus, like they're trying to will her clothes off with their minds. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's embarrassing, it's scary. But again, look, to go back to your point, not to get too serious on it, but it's like they're coming at this from whatever their perspective is, whatever their, how their problems affecting them. If you're, like you said, the bag of oranges or whatever, the oranges, it's like you can't win. But I don't believe in censoring myself. Like, I'm not going to force myself to be an edgy comic just to piss people off. Yeah, but if I do want to tell a joke, like I'm telling a joke now that's pretty edgy.
Really?
It just came up very natural. It's a true story. And in the heat of the moment, I said something because I grew up with horrible depression as a kid. Like, I didn't know what depression was. And what I would do was, like, whenever something horrible happened, I would immediately just flick the switch and make it into a joke. And that's, even though I don't find what's happening funny, I would immediately tell, like, I remember in school, do you remember Dunblane when that happened in Scotland?
No.
So we were in school and Tim Galvin, the principal, came in. He goes, lads, look, I just want to tell you, it was on the news. Like, we were just, I can't remember how old I was, maybe 10. And it was around October, November it happened. And this guy went into Scotland. This is how the UK, I think, lost all their guns. And he said this guy went into a primary school and shot and killed a bunch of children. Jeez. And the principal came into our class and told us. And I was in the top row because I was a mouthpiece and the teacher wanted to keep an eye on me. I was in the front two tables with Jason Kehoe. And the second he said that, I immediately went and all these people got shocked because you're a child. What? You could shoot a child? Never heard of that ever. Ever. I'm not on television, not in a movie back then. You never heard of that. And he said, a guy went in, he shot and killed, I think, 14 children in Scotland. And I immediately went, well, it looks like Santa will be around earlier this year then. Horrible joke, right? Horrible disgust. It's a bit funny, but that's the way my switch. So I don't do that, but I might do that in my daily life around my friends who know who I really am. Like, I'm not going to walk up to an old woman on the street and go, hey, look at that person in a wheelchair, right? You know what I mean? And of course you don't mean it, but like, so I'm telling a joke about, I'm not going to give it away, of course, but I'm telling this joke about something that happened. And again, it was like that, my response, and it's doing well in the club, but I'm not going to go out of my way to be an edgy comic. I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And if, like you said, abortion happens to come across my mind and my pen goes that way, if gun control goes across that way, pronouns, whatever the fuck it is, the price of oranges, I'm not going to not say it because, oh, I don't want to say that because this person might be in the room or this might get leaked down online, because I know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place of humor, and I'm not going to bend myself just because the crowd don't understand where I'm coming from. That's just who I am. So I kind of think all comics should have that approach.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think as well, because I had a clip and I was like, it got completely misinterpreted. And I was kind of thinking, this is a few years ago, and I was thinking, should I take it down? And then I kind of thought, no, because if anything ever comes, like if I did get famous and I, you know, like, I mean, I feel like in America, I would have had to do it 5 years ago since they love children over here. But I mean, right, if I did get successful and that came out, I know that I can say, that's fine that you interpret it that way. That's not what I meant. And I stand by it. So, because and it was the same with the Northern Ireland thing. I was kind of like, I'm not going to delete it, even though everybody's getting mad. I'm not deleting it because that's not what I meant. Right. I did not mean that the North is not part of Ireland. Get the fuck out of here. I think the North is beautiful. I think certain parts of
Ireland are
beautiful.
I've got friends up there. It's the dumbest shit.
Yeah,
dumbest
shit. Like,
all
nah.
It is a rock. The whole island is a rock. And someone decided to draw an imaginary line across and said, that's theirs, this is ours. Just stop it.
Yeah, and no matter whatever Northerner wants to be part of the UK, wants to be part of the South, wants to be on their own, I didn't live in the North. That has nothing to do with me. That's not what I meant. And so I'm just kind of like, yeah, if it ever came up and someone said it in like a thing, I'd be like, I stand by it because that's not, it's just interpreted. I do want to come back to before you go. And I know I've taken up so much of your time, but you said you were a fighter.
Yeah, I was a kickboxer back in Ireland. Few belts and gold medals and stuff back in the day. That was a lifetime ago.
And then did you come to America for boxing?
Yeah, I came to America when I was 27. Was I 27?
When you came to America, you were 27?
Yeah. Wow. I'm 45. So.
Wow.
You know, people say when you're 45. Like, I remember I was with, who was I with? You didn't come to Boston with us, did you, that time?
No.
So we were in the green room, me, Dave, and Sean Finnerty, and we were talking. Some guy, the owner of the Boston, was sitting there, Boston Comedy Club, and he said, like, "How old are you?" And I said, "I'm 45." He goes, "Wow, you look great." And Sean was like, "Jesus, Mick, I'm so sorry." Like, about an hour later, he goes, "I'm so sorry." He goes, "Why?" He goes, "Because, like, I was talking to you like you were a young guy. I should have been giving you more respect." I'm like, "Would you fuck off?"
That's so funny. He's such a traditional country man, country Irishman. He's like,
"Well, yeah, I used to fight, and then I just kind of stopped doing it." And then when I moved over here, then when I was 27, and then I started comedy before I turned, just as I was about to turn 30, because I wanted to always try it. I said, "Fuck it! If I don't do it at this landmark, this milestone in your life, then you're not going to ever do it." And I just did it. I said, "I'll do it once," and here I am, 15 years later.
And where did you do? Where was your first open mic?
Governors on Long Island. I took a class.
Oh wow! I knew headline there now. That's amazing.
Yeah. I headline there a lot, and it's I took a comedy class there, and it's the weirdest thing.
The comedy class, I can imagine.
It's good. It's good and it's bad. Like, because if you went, I don't know how you started. You probably went to an open mic, did you?
Yeah.
And how did you do your first time? Did you bomb, or did you do okay, or did you do really well?
Well, no, the first time there was a show where they let audience members get up and tell a joke, but I'd been going to that show for maybe like 2 months, kind of sussing it out. And then I was like, fuck it, I'll go up. But I just told like a little story, and I did, and the host was like, "Oh, so how long have you been doing comedy?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "Oh, you were actually an audience member." And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "No audience members do this. Open micers come up and do the like audience member part." And he was like, "Oh, you should start doing open mics." And I was like, "Okay." So then I did the next night. But because it was like, there was no pressure at that show, it was just me doing, I never thought I was going to be a comedian. But the next night when I did at the open mic, I don't even remember. It was like I blacked out. Like for the first 6 months, it feels like I was doing a lot. I was doing like 3 open mics a night. I got the bug very quickly. I started a show 2 months into comedy that I still have, but when I look back, it was all so much adrenaline, and I was talking so fast and with an Irish accent that I think they were like, "We don't even know what she's saying, but we're gonna just like laugh at this."
No, that's like I took a class, and I think I commend open micers who started the open mic. Like, I have a bunch of comic friends. I don't know anyone. Jessica Kearson, I think, is the only one I know. Like, I know personally. I know Anthony Jeselnik took, but I don't really know Anthony. But I know Jessica very well. She took a comedy class. And I think if I had the safety of a comedy class, I had 8 weeks to prepare a 7-minute set. And you learn the things about take the mic out and, you know, like, don't look, you know, the things that you would have. And I feel if I'd went to an open mic just to try it, and I think because I didn't learn how to prepare a set, I think I would have bombed. And then I was like, well, I tried it because I would have walked away. So I think for me, the class, it kind of kept me disciplined. Like, my wife bought the ticket. She bought the class. And I was like, you know what? It's 8 weeks. I might as well. I can't not go for her. She bought the ticket. So I had to see it through. But I think if I didn't see it through like that, I probably wouldn't be doing it.
And then was she like happy the way it's all worked out? Because like, that's amazing. She's like, you know.
Yeah, we struggled for a while because I would be on the road a lot. And we had 2 kids and stuff. And like, if my weekend was open, because I used to hang out with old school comics like Joey Cola and, you know, Adam Ferrara, those old school guys. And they were like, you got to go on the road and you got to take every gig and blah, blah, blah. And I realized that shit, like, you don't have to take every gig, you know, like, so I would look at my calendar. So let's say if it was a weekend, like this weekend in July, I was off this weekend. And normally I would panic. I'm not booked. Let me go take any shitty gig. And I'd be away from, but I said, you know what? Now, so for the longest time I did that, which put a lot of pressure on my wife. You know, she's home with the kids and whatever. And I would come home with fucking $200, which is a waste of time. Like, why did I go away for a weekend for $200? Now, if I look at my calendar and it's open, I'll go, I'll sit at home. I'll sit here. We ate ice cream last night. We watched a movie and it's the best time. And now I fell back in love with stand-up again because it wasn't as the hard work. Now I truly enjoy it. I truly enjoy the hard work now. But instead of getting to a car for fucking 4 hours, dealing with a shitty comedy club, bombing in a shitty town, spending the next day in a shitty town, driving all the way back and giving, handing over $200. Like, yeah, that's what it costs for me to leave you alone with these two. And did I get any better? No, because I didn't, because I wasn't happy on stage and that I didn't learn anything from it. But now I love it. I love it. I'm up to crack at dawn. I'm writing, I'm social media, and I'm back on, I'm editing, trying new jokes out constantly. And it's like, I'm at the best now I've ever been, and I'm enjoying it more than I've ever, even since when I started.
Yeah, I think that's really important what you said, and I think people in other jobs can learn from that too. And I think that's what the pandemic taught me, because before the pandemic I had like 3 jobs,
yeah,
2 and stand up and doing the podcast, and I was burnt out. But I think you like, it's really important to take breaks and not to overdo it. And there's this whole grind mentality, especially in New York, and I think for Irish people too, because hardworking is a big part of our identity. And yeah, I think we all need to learn to relax a bit. And like, it's funny because when I go home, it is kind of nice that like Sundays are a bit more of a chill day. But even with my family, I'd still see like my dad being like, oh well, I'm off, I gotta go and plant potatoes. I'm like, just fucking relax, just watch TV. Yeah, no. And it's yeah, it's really important. I took a week off there, and then because I was on the cruise, and then Friday night I was just like running a longer set to get ready for the album. But I was like, oh, I felt like the best I've felt in a long time doing comedy, because I felt so like fresh and like relaxed and like wanting to tell these stories, and I hadn't told them in a week, so it was like exciting. And I think, yeah, and I just spent a great time with my boyfriend. And it's like, yeah, you forget, you can get, it's a drug and you can get really addicted. And I think a lot of people in other, I had a friend who was an accountant who would work here till like 11 p.m. each night. And I was kind of like, what's the point of being in New York if you're not gonna, like, you're exhausted. And anyway, she moved to London and now she just works till 5 and she's delighted.
Yeah. And I think too, like if you don't take time off, you're too close to the joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're too close to it and you can't see the forest past the trees. So like, I think if you step back and kind of have a fresh set of ears to listen to your set again, you know, when you take some time off. And also like, I think Jim Brewer told me, I think it was like that, if you don't, like, because you go to the city, right? And I love going to the city, but if you go into the kind of like the open mics and that kind of stuff, if you listen to what they're talking about, you can tell they're writing, and I'm not saying they're not funny, they're some of them are fucking hilarious, but they're writing what they know about.
Yeah,
I was on the subway today. Hey, isn't my apartment small? I saw this commercial on TV.
I walk dogs. Is
this cereal is that? You walk dogs, right? So it's nothing to them. They can only write what's within their world. And if you don't go out and live your life, like you said, go on a cruise, whatever, and just watch people and go to islands and stuff. Like if I don't take my kids off to an arcade and play a pinball machine or go to a museum or something, like if I don't do these things, I'm not pulling from real life. You know what I mean? Then what happens? I'm going to turn on TV. Here come my jokes on politics, because that's all I've been consuming all day long, you know. And then you become dead, that person, you know. Then you become the person who's political, and you've divided your audience immediately in half. You've lost half of them, you know. So you got to live your life. You got to take time away from it, step back, and just enjoy it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Where can people find you?
Well, I'm on the only thing I'm on is Instagram and TikTok, which is Mick Thomas Comedy, and then my podcast, Cheaper Than Therapy, is wherever you get podcasts from.
Great. Where are you from in Ireland?
Wexford.
Oh,
boy.
Wexford.
Yellow belly.
Is that where the two Johnnies are from?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I think they're Waterford.
Yeah, Waterford. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. See, that's the equivalent of the UK.
I know. They're gonna block me. No, they'll never. They don't listen to this. But no, this is great. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thanks for having me. I love being on.
Great. Everybody go follow. And thanks to the Shift listeners. And okay, thanks so much, Mick. You're the best.
All right. We'll see you again. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.